Two men were talking, and one said to the other, "Understand that I can be saved by praying the sinner's prayer. Can you tell me where I can find it in the Bible?" The other one said, "Yes, sir. It's just inside the back cover." When you talk about the Bible, you may not be talking about the same thing that I am. This book that I hold in my hands on the front says the Holy Bible. This book that I hold in my hands says the Holy Bible. This book that I hold in my hands says the Holy Bible. Those three books are not exactly alike. Is there a time when the Bible is not the Bible? This is the one that I use regularly now. It's got the same verses on the same pages as the smaller Bible that I've used for 40-something years. This Bible has the same text in it as that one, but it has about as many footnotes in it as it has text. And in those footnotes, a tremendous amount of error is taught. This Bible includes basically the text that is in that Bible, but it also has 14 other books in it that are not in this one. This is perhaps the most widely used Catholic Bible, the Douay Confraternity Edition. And it includes in it, mixed along with the books that you and I have and the Bibles we use, these other books that are called the Apocrypha, books that were written after Malachi and before Matthew, during that period of hundreds of years there between what we call between the Testaments. And they are included in the text of this book. Not only that, but there are a tremendous number of footnotes in this Bible. For example, at Matthew 23, where the Bible says in the text, "Call no man your father, be not called rabbi," in the footnote it says, "When you refer to some man as your father, you should realize that there is only one Father in heaven." And in the dictionary that is given in this book, where the word Pope is used, it is suggested and taught there in that part of what's between the covers that Peter was the first pope and that others have followed after him. In Luke 10:26, Jesus asked two questions. He said, "What is written in the law?" And then he asked the question, "How readest thou?" Now, that could apply even as I'm using this copy of the Bible. First of all, that which is in the text is the written word of God. And yet even I might personally read something from that text, put upon it my own private interpretation, and make it teach something that it doesn't teach. In the Yahoos Friday, as we were having the devotional and talking about different things, I made the point that I can read from the Bible in a certain way and indicate that we are encouraged to steal. In Ephesians 4, if you start reading and stop at the appropriate place, you would read the words, "Let him that stole steal." Now, if you read the verse, it would say, "Let him that stole steal no more." But if I stop at the right place and put my own interpretation on it, I can make it teach just the opposite of what it does teach. We also made the point that the punctuation marks in the text are important. And I shared a statement that Miss Laura Laycook, who was never married and who taught in the Henderson area for years and years and years, was a dorm mother at Freed Hardeman. A text that she used to prove that the Bible encouraged her not to marry. She read these words, "I would not have you ignorant brethren." She left out the comma between ignorant and brethren. The verse says, "I would not have you ignorant, comma, brethren, concerning those that are asleep." The point that I'm making this morning is that we need to recognize that just because something is between those covers doesn't mean it's the Word of God. And doesn't mean that if we follow it, we will be okay. There are copies of the Bible that you can purchase today that will say on the front, "Holy Bible." And yet in the sections that we normally call the helps that are put there, and this Bible that I use has that many helps in the form of concordance and dictionary and maps. But there are some Bibles that you can buy today that will include something that man has put in there that will tell you that you can be saved by faith only. And that you can be saved by just praying the sinner's prayer, which in effect says, "I thank you, God, that Jesus was sent," or "I thank you, Christ, for coming. I want you to come into my heart, and I accept you into my heart." And then the next statement will be, and I have seen this with my own eyes, "At that point, you are now saved." And then there may be a place to write and receive further instructions, or a phone call number to call to receive further instructions. But inside the covers of that which says the Holy Bible, there is teaching that is not according to the Word of God. I remember back when I was much younger, something that was on the side of a milk carton. There was one side, entire side, of the half-gallon square milk carton that had in big letters, "Attend the church of your choice." And where I grew up, that was on the carton for years and years and years. Now, that's not in the Bible, but it's dealing with the point that I'm making and want to get across today. There are religious teachings that are done almost anywhere you can look that will give you the wrong instructions. And going from that to the book that's called the Bible itself, there are instructions that are given and ideas that are suggested inside the covers of the book that has on the outside of it the Holy Bible, that cannot be trusted. Many of those helps that are there can be very helpful. I'm glad that there is a small concordance in the back of my Bible. There are times that I'm trying to think of a verse and I can't think of it as to where it is, but I know some of the key words. And I use this concordance that's in the back of my Bible quite often. I have a book, Cruden's Concordance, it's about that thick, that's more detailed. I keep it on my desk so that I can look, if I'm trying to find a verse and I don't remember exactly where it is, that I can use that cross-reference. I'm also glad that in my Bible there are cross-references right in the text. And some of you may use a Bible that have those cross-references down at the bottom of the page. Many times when I'm studying a certain passage, I'll look and see what's there. Now, I always remember that man put those there. These were not inspired. But I'll go check those, and many times there will be a cross-reference and a verse that I hadn't really thought of that fits into the subject that I'm studying. I'm glad that there is a short Bible dictionary in the back of some of the Bibles, because there are times that I will see a word in the Bible that I don't know exactly what it means at that point. And I'll guarantee you that you see those even in the songs. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Do you know what you've raised? Well, if there's a Bible dictionary, I can go to that and it can be very helpful. And sometimes there may be a Bible that someone has written that and has put things in it that are extremely helpful. I have, for example, here a copy of a New Testament study edition. And this was edited by Wayne Jackson. It's the American Standard Version, but New Study Edition with notes and references on every page by Wayne Jackson. I happen to know Wayne Jackson. He's one of the soundest, straightforward gospel preachers that I know today. He lives in California. And in the back of this little New Testament is a tremendous amount of information on just a few pages. He's given charts. He's given chronological tracings. And there's some of the best information there. And from my standpoint, everything that's in there is according to the Scripture. I could recommend that someone take a book like this, the New Testament, and not only read the text, but read what's in there. That's not always the case. I mentioned the Schofield Bible. I don't know whether any of you are familiar with this. The man who put this together and edited it was a very staunch premillennialist. He believed that Jesus was coming back to set up the earthly kingdom in Jerusalem, reign there for a thousand years. He believed in the rapture. He believed in the great tribulation, in a literal sense of 7 years connected with the 1,000-year reign. And of course, the text that's in this is the Word of God. But throughout this Bible, especially in the footnotes on passages that deal with the kingdom and the Lord's return, he has included in those footnotes premillennial teaching. And if somebody today were to purchase a copy of this book that says on the spine it's the Holy Bible, probably would be led astray into false doctrine, because as he opened and studied this, if he were using this as his main study, he's going to read the things probably that are in the footnotes and would come to believe perhaps the false doctrine of premillennialism. And yet everything that I have referred to is inside the covers of what is called the Holy Bible. Just like with the Catholic version that I mentioned a moment ago. I could take this version, this Bible, and by knowing that the 14 apocryphal books do not stand the test to put them into the canon, that they are not Scripture, I could stick with the 66 books that are Scripture, and I could take this book and teach the truth and learn the truth. However, if I used what's in the footnotes and what's inside the back cover after the text is given, I could come to believe something that is error, and I could teach from this copy, staying within the boundaries of these two covers, things that are not according to God's teaching. Now that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the idea of something being inside the back cover. There are many things that are taught today by religious people using a book that says the Holy Bible and using things that are within the boundaries of that book, inside the two covers of that book, and teaching false doctrine after false doctrine after false doctrine. Now, what you and I need to learn from that is what's in the Bible, not what's between the covers of that which is called the Holy Bible. What is in the Word of God? I have some copies of Bibles in my house that do not have a comment in them except the Scripture. And you can purchase Bibles like that. You can go to the stores and purchase probably a very cheap copy of the Bible. And when you open it, there is nothing there except perhaps an introduction page that tells you about the type of version that it is. And then immediately you open and there's Genesis 1. And if you go to the back and turn past the two or three blank pages that are there, you'll be looking at Revelation 22. And if you go to the pages between the Testaments, where many times you have a place to put your genealogy and other things there, there won't be anything there except maybe a blank page and a page that says the New Testament starts. You can pick up a Bible that says the Holy Bible and there is nothing in it between the covers except the Bible itself. But most of us don't use Bibles like that. I would almost guarantee if you have your Bible with you today that you use as your main Bible that it will have something in it in addition to the Scriptures. You won't be able to find many that don't have the maps. There will usually be maps in the back of the Bible, and those don't tend to give anybody any trouble because they don't teach anything. They're just factual maps of what existed at certain times during the Bible. But most of us have Bibles that have a lot in it. Years ago, there was the Dixon New Analytical Bible that was sold to so many people. I have a copy of it. Maybe some of you do. And that Bible was arranged to have enough helps in it that you could take that one volume, that one book. If that's all you had with you, you could do a pretty good job of studying most anything. Because it has cross-references, it has dictionary-type concordance and so forth in the back. And you can take that's almost a library in itself. But even if you're studying a book like that we would highly recommend, or one like this that I could recommend, I think, without any reservation, I would still point out to you that everything that is after the page that has Revelation 22, that everything else was put there by man. And that which is inside the back cover and not in the text can be very harmful to us. Can you find in the Bible the teaching of sprinkling for baptism? Can you find in the Bible the use of instrumental music in Christian worship in the church? Can you find in the Bible where it is okay for women to preach from the pulpit when men are present? Can you find in the Bible the idea of going to the mourner's bench and praying through for salvation? Can you find in the Bible the sinner's prayer to pray in order to be saved? The answer to all those questions is yes and no. There are some Bibles that you can buy that will say on the front the Holy Bible that will teach all of those doctrines, not in the text, but in the helps that are there. You cannot find either of those in the text of the Bible. You cannot find where a man was with God's approval ever referred to as father in the sense of that being a title to his name. You cannot find in the text of the Bible that a preacher was ever called a pastor unless he was also an elder in the Lord's church. You can find the word reverend in the text, but you cannot find where it was ever used to distinguish a preacher from other people. You cannot find anywhere in the text that anybody ever went to a mourner's bench or was told to go to a mourner's bench in order to be saved. You cannot find one time in books like the book of Acts where when someone said, "What must I do to be saved?" that he was told to pray the sinner's prayer. And yet, you can find every one of those things between the covers of some volumes that are sold and represented as the Holy Bible, because they are taught inside the back cover. They are taught between Revelation 22 and the back cover, or sometimes might be between the front cover and Genesis 1, or occasionally between the last verse of Malachi and the first verse of Matthew. Are they in the Bible? Yes, in the sense that they're in the volume that says Holy Bible. Are they in the Bible? Not in the sense that they're in the text, which is God's Word. I believe I can take the text of the Bible and using it and it alone teach any honest person how to become a Christian. But I cannot take the Bible that includes back here where that person is told something exactly the opposite of what's in the text and teach that person how to become a Christian until, and I'm going to use a word that's not in the dictionary, until I have untaught him what he has read on the pages that are between the covers of the book that he calls the Bible. I think this is one of the most dangerous things to the possibility of eternal salvation for the masses that we have in existence today. The problem is not what's in the text. Most people who teach doctrinal error will admit a certain verse, if you read it, I know that's there, but then they'll go from there to something else. Our biggest problem today is private interpretation of the Bible, which comes in the form of adding things within the covers of the Bible that are not according to the Scripture. One of the most important things for each of us is when you pick up something that says Holy Bible, know what you've got in your hands. The subject of translations not being considered today, that's another subject for another time. But you need to know something about the translation that you hold in your hand. Is it a literal translation? Is it an idea-to-idea translation? And there is one book that I can pick up at home that will say the Bible on the front, and to its credit, it says something else that should give an indication. It says the Living Bible Paraphrased. The Living Bible Paraphrased is not the Bible. And it tells you that right on the front if you'll stop and listen. It is a paraphrased edition done by Mr. Taylor with the idea in mind of putting it into words that his son could understand. I don't see that book being carried as much now as I used to. But for a period of time, I would notice members of the church coming in to worship with that Living Bible paraphrased and nothing else. That paraphrased Bible may be studied like a commentary. I've read in it often. And I like to see what this man said, how he put it into other words. But it's not the Bible. And there are even some translations, such as the Cotton Patch version of the Bible, that are not as interested in getting to mankind exactly what God said as what they want man to understand about what God said. There are many things that are inside the back cover, or in the footnotes, or in the Bible helps at the end of the volume, that may be misleading and may give people false assurance relative to the subject of salvation. But whatever you find in the copy that you're using, put it in proper focus and realize that it is not a part of the text. And though you may use the helps that are in the Bible that you're using for the purpose that they can be used, don't draw any conclusion from something that is inside the back cover instead of going to that which is in the text of God's Word. God's Word is inspired. Not everything that's between the covers on what's called the Holy Bible is inspired. If we listen to what's inside the back cover, we may lose our souls. The person who turns inside that back cover where someone has listed the sinner's prayer and tells him this is all you have to do to become a Christian may be like those in Matthew 7 who said, "Lord, we've prophesied in thy name, we've cast out devils in thy name, we've done many wonderful works in thy name." And he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What you and I are interested in doing is meeting God in the day of judgment and be ready to be judged according to the text of the Bible, not what's inside the back cover. If you get away from the back cover and get into the text, you're still going to find faith, repentance, and baptism for the remission of sins, and you're still going to find repentance and confession and prayer for forgiveness as a Christian. And that's where we want to study, and that's where what we want to teach. And if you're subject to either of those invitations, come as together we stand and sing.